Two on the back.
Arizona soccer goalkeeper Olivia Ramey shouted instructions and encouragement to her Wildcat teammates as they pressed early in their match against the BYU Cougars on October 16, 2025. The Cats' four early shots was a promising sign for a team who had not scored a goal in the previous three matches. But momentum shifted in the 16th minute of the match. BYU's Ellie Walbrook broke the deadlock, putting the Cougars up 1-0. Just 5 minutes later, Walbrook scored her second goal. If I were in Olivia Ramey's cleats, I might have asked to come out of the game. But I'm not a Division I athlete, and I definitely don't have the grit it takes to be a goalkeeper. Olivia checks both those boxes. She also has a not-so-secret weapon to keep her composure. She talks to herself, and not in a negative way.
And I talk to myself all the time. Most of the time it's on the field, but if it's I'm having like a bad rep or something, my coach will watch see me walk off. I'll turn my back to the field, take a breath, talk to myself, tell myself it's okay, talk to God, anything that I need to do in those kind of moments to just reground myself and then get back in it.
What do you say to God when you're in those moments?
I just say, God, this is your plan. Ground my feet, ground my hands, calm my mind, give me the strength that I know you can give me. And let's do this thing.
Getchy to the ball. Cut around the keeper, but no.
Great
Olivia
save.
Ramey just snags it. Snatches it out of the air in front of Mia Getchy.
Yeah, Ramey.
Olivia and her teammates did do their thing after halftime.
In the 60th minute. But no longer 2-1. It's an equalizer off a beautiful cross on the right side. Excellent service and a clinical finish.
The Wildcats tied the match with 30 minutes remaining, but their surge didn't last. Arizona struggled to clear the ball from its own half of the field.
2-2. Another pass, and there's a finish!
Ellie Walbrook muscled her way into the box in the 75th minute, boxed out a Wildcat defender, and redirected a ball into the back of the net to give the Cougars a one-score lead and eventual victory. In my opinion, there wasn't much Olivia could do to prevent the game winner, but I doubt she made any excuses or blamed any of her teammates. At some point during or after the match, she likely had another quiet conversation with herself and with God.
I normally always immediately feel better. It may not translate onto the field, but mentally I get that clarity. And I think that once I get the mental clarity, things kind of realign.
Olivia may have also drawn strength from thoughts of her older sister.
This is the Big Stories Podcast, where we tell the amazing and inspiring stories from across the Big 12 Conference.
I'm Cleon Wall. Prior to the Arizona soccer team's trip to Provo, Utah, the Big Stories team began digging for potential tales to tell out of Tucson. We discovered a U of A athletic department video featuring Olivia Ramey and her story of mental health advocacy.
For me, it started in my high school days where I watched someone very close to me go through a very intensive battle with mental health and feel like they were losing it for a majority of the time. And it made me realize I don't want anybody in this world for that matter to feel like that. So that's really where the dream came from.
Olivia's dream was to become a sports psychologist, and the person who inspired her was her sister Rachel.
I have always been and always will be open about what I've gone through. It brought me to where I am today, which is a great, great place.
Our hope? To uncover the story behind the inspiration with the Ramey sisters. So let's dive in. Rachel and Olivia Ramey grew up in Frisco, Texas.
Which is a suburb about 30 minutes north of Dallas, and now it's kind of blown up.
Mom and Dad Ramey signed the sisters up for a variety of sports, hoping one would stick. Rachel, the older sibling, embraced swimming.
I'm more reserved and just like kind of more individual because I was an only child for about 5 years. And so I guess that aspect of swimming, like I had the camaraderie with my teammates, training, competing, things like that, but it wasn't I'm reliant on my teammates necessarily, but it was like, I have control over how I practice. I have control over how I compete.
Olivia, on the other hand, or should I say foot, fell in love with soccer at an early age.
I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. I'm playing it, having a good time. They put me in swimming too because my sister was so good at it. And I was like, I'm never going to be as good as she was as it. So I just picked soccer and stuck with it. I just loved the more so like team aspect of it.
While Olivia was sharpening her skills on the soccer pitch, Rachel was slicing through the water, swimming faster and faster with each race.
I was pretty dang good at it, not going to lie. My regular meets were national meets. They were junior nationals, national championships, competing with, you know, college kids when I was in high school, or Olympians when I was in high school.
She was going to two-a-days, 6 days a week from the age of 15 on. And when you're so young, that's really difficult to do. And she'd wake up on her own in the morning, drive herself to practice, come home, take a nap, go to school, go back to practice later that night.
I did qualify and compete at the 2016 Olympic trials. I didn't make the team, but that's okay. It was still a surreal experience.
After her Olympic trials moment, Rachel committed to swim collegiately at the University of Florida prior to her senior year of high school.
And then I was like, okay, then what? So it was like I was going up and up, and I was on this really high of competing well and practicing well. And then I was like, it just dropped.
Rachel didn't want to practice, but not because she was a lazy teenager.
I was starting to have anxiety attacks and panic attacks of going to practice and going to meets, and to a point that I was like getting physically sick. Like I would throw up, or I would have headaches, or just chronic fatigue. And we had mental health professionals actually come to my club team and like talk to us about, you know, recognizing signs and stuff. And so I scheduled an appointment and I would go pretty regularly, but it just still continued to, there wasn't anything that I really wanted out of swimming anymore at that point.
Olivia sensed something was wrong with Rachel, but her sister kept those struggles to herself.
I could tell that there were days where it would get to her, but never to the extent that it truly was. And I think a lot of that was because she didn't want to let the people around her down. And so she compartmentalized a lot of it. And I was her annoying little sister at the time. So every time I kind of went near her, she was like, no, go away. I don't want to be near you. And
Rachel kept pushing forward, talking to counselors twice a week about performance anxiety, while drawing encouragement from her parents.
They were very supportive. I remember one of the last competitions that I was at, where I was eating breakfast in the hotel. Like I had a race that morning and I was just beating myself up. And like the rest of the team went, and my mom stayed back, and like we talked about it, and she was like, we're already here. Like just go and swim. You don't have to perform. Just don't even do the correct stroke if you don't want to. Like just go dive in the pool, doggy paddle or whatever. Just get through the race. And I was just like, no. Like I can't, there's no way. And finally my mom pep talked me up enough, and I went and I swam, and I actually did pretty good. I made it to finals that night, which is kind of crazy.
After all of this, going through what you went through your senior year in high school, why go to Florida, even though you're going through all of this?
Well, I would say, again, the anticipation and the excitement and, you know, being one of the top performers and athletes at the club that I was at, you know, everyone wanted to see me go succeed. The first few days was great, but as I was settling in my dorm room, that I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. I don't want to do this. And it just kind of continued to decline, I would say. And I was on the phone with my parents pretty much every second of the day, just telling them, like, I don't want to be here. I need to come home. I don't want to swim.
Florida Gators coaches and teammates started noticing something was wrong after Rachel sustained an injury. She wasn't pushing herself in the pool, and she lost weight. The once talkative, outgoing freshman started to withdraw. Eventually, Rachel stopped showing up for practice.
I was more so spending time with the trainer during practice, And so she was kind of almost my kind of in between with the coaches and me, because I didn't really know how to explain what I was going through or what I wanted to do.
One coach dismissed Rachel's struggles with anxiety and depression, insisting she just needed to eat more, assuming it was an eating disorder. In the end, Rachel made the tough decision to quit the team, leave school, and return home.
I remember it sitting in the car, our whole family that day, and she just broke down crying. And it's not an enjoyable sight to see when you see someone you love so much admit all of these feelings that they've been having. So,
how did you try to support her during this?
I think for me, it was just reminding her, like, I'm there for you every day.
She would always ask, like, Rachie, are you okay? Are you doing okay? Like, I love you so much.
We had a Jack and Jill bathroom at home, so it was walking across the bathroom to go to her room and just, like, give her a hug or lay on her bed together or things like that, and just giving her the support and letting her know that I might not have the expertise to help you in any way, but I love you more than you'll ever know, and remind her of that every day and give her the reassurance that you are going to figure this out and I'm going to help you do that, and just take it step by step each day together. She wasn't a fan of me being close to her at first, but I was like, sorry, you're not losing me. I'm gonna be here whether you like it or not.
Whether she, you know, really realizes it or not, you know, it had an impact on me. Just her being there and asking how I was doing and showing that she cared and loved for me was helpful.
After reaching the highest of highs in swimming, Rachel might have felt guilt about her decision to quit on her Florida teammates and coaches. But that wasn't the case.
It was the best decision of my life. From that day, never looked back. I didn't regret it. I didn't miss it. It was such a relief to feel like I could breathe. I got really active and into workouts in the way that I wanted to work out and the way that I wanted to take care of myself. And I was able to gain all the weight that I had lost back and then put on more muscle, which is wonderful.
Did you ever think about going back to swimming at all after you came home?
Nope. I think I went to one practice with my old club, and I think I got in and I swam for 10 minutes and then I left, and I never swam laps since.
Rachel's experience left a lasting impression on Olivia.
Right before I went into college, I was kind of like having to decide my major. I had always, after what happened, been passionate about mental health and supporting everybody around me. And so I took Psych 101 my freshman year, and I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want to do. So it was kind of just like all the stars aligning, and it's been the same ever since. She just opened my eyes to remembering, like, life is so important, and it's okay to struggle and to be open about your struggle. I'm very open. When I feel something, I admit it. When I don't love something, I admit it. If I do love something, I let everybody around me, like, assure them of how much I love them or the sport that I'm playing, and just, like, be there for everybody.
Like her sister, Olivia also faced a moment of doubt about continuing in sports. After two seasons at the University of Oklahoma, she chose to leave the Sooners soccer program following a coaching change.
It wasn't the style of play I was looking for. I wasn't really enjoying soccer anymore. I actually took a semester off to, like, refine my love for the game, and I fully did. So I think that experience watching my sister showed me, like, it's okay to not love what I'm doing sometimes. And if I didn't want to play anymore, I would have stopped. And I came on my visit to Arizona and was like, okay, this is a place where I feel like I can love soccer again.
The only question she asked me before committing, she said, if I move to Arizona, will you still be there for my senior night? And I said, girl, 100%, hands down, there's nothing for that I would trade for in the world to miss that. I will make it a priority to be there.
And Rachel was there for Olivia on senior night, just as Olivia celebrated with Rachel when her older sister graduated from chiropractic school.
I get to help people and help patients in the way that I was helped more from a physical standpoint, growing up and swimming and competing. And I still honestly deal with some anxiety and depression, and I have good days and bad days, but I have so many tools and resources under my belt, and I know how to cope and handle it.
Near the end of my separate conversations with the Ramey sisters, I asked each of them the biggest lesson they've learned from their experiences together.
I would say my biggest takeaway and perspective change from it has just been to let people around you know that it's okay to not be okay, and be a shoulder for people to lean on and constantly remind people that you're there, because a lot of the time we feel these burdens and we don't want to share our burdens because everybody else has their own.
When it comes to mental health, something small or something big, never be afraid to ask for help. Never, ever, ever, ever be afraid. That's the best thing you can do, because you never know what else God has in store for you. And it's probably, well, it is probably so much greater than you could ever even imagine. So just ask for help. I just want to give my younger self a hug. Because if she knew what she would go on to do, she wouldn't believe it.
James Collin, the BYU Radio post-production team, provided music and sound design for this episode. A big thanks to ESPN for the soccer highlights and the University of Arizona Athletics Department for allowing us to use a snippet from their interview with Olivia Ramey. Make sure you subscribe to the Big Stories podcast so you don't miss an episode. The pod will be back soon with more amazing tales from around the Big 12. Big Stories is a production of BYU Radio.